Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is October the 3rd. It is Sunday, and we're here to preview your Week 4 NFL slate today. But before we get to that, let's talk about Thursday. We got Bengals edging out against the Jaguars there on Thursday night. Really showing some offensive competence, not that they haven't earlier in the year in that second half coming back to win. But also the Jaguars kind of jumping on them a little bit and showing they're a real NFL team at the very least in that first half.
Yeah, kind of feels like Urban Meyer's starting to adapt to how the NFL game runs. Mm-hmm. You can't, in those first few weeks, you can't have Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he just really threw Lawrence in there, and it's nice to see him not leaning on the running game, but, you know, kind of incorporating both the run and the pass.
I bet both quarterbacks combined for 550 yards and 5 touchdowns. And if you just looked at the score of the game, you probably would have guessed that I won that pretty with some breathing room. But no, Jaguars just ran the ball a lot in the red zone. So, Lawrence, I don't believe that a passing touchdown at all.
Which I feel like you can't blame them. No. Like, James Robinson's not a bad running back. They just didn't utilize him week one and week two. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, Bengals kind of that hot and cold team. I mean, you'll have Joe Burrow throwing 3 picks in a quarter, and then you'll also have him just kind of moving that offense down the field like he did in the second half of that game. So,
obviously, they had a pretty good big three of receiving threats, but it's obvious they can pick up the slack when they're missing one of those three as well.
Yeah, Uzoma, I think, tight end, really stepped up in the second half there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Bengals are a bad team. Bengals might not take last in that division. Don't worry.
Why not?
I don't think the Steelers will either. I still think the Browns.
But should they?
We can talk about that.
We'll get
when we get to the game.
Start with the noon games. Panthers going to the Cowboys. I've kind of had a name for each week, I think. You know, week one's calibration week. Week two is like don't overreact week. Week three, I forget what I called it. Week four is, I'm going to call it, it's the test week. There are these 3-0 and 2-1 teams are getting their first test in this week. And the Panthers are the first of those. 3-0, they get the Cowboys, who despite, you know, they're 2-1, with only a loss to the reigning Super Bowl champions and good wins the other 2 weeks. They got to go into Dallas, and the odds reflect that they're 4.5-point underdogs, despite being 3-0 team.
Yeah, I like the Panthers money line here. I like that Panthers defense. You know, when you're kind of looking at the teams the Cowboys have played, I believe all of them rank in the bottom half, like pass defense. I don't know if Dak will be able to be as productive as we've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Cowboys, their defense really isn't that great. It's kind of the back that's, you know, kind of had to throw the team on his back. And so, yeah, I like the Panthers' money line here. I think 170 is good value.
I kind of go opposite logic. I think the Panthers' defense is fine. I don't think it's top 5 or maybe even top 10 in the league. I just think it's okay. And I think that shows through in this game. So I'm going over 51 in this one, just because, I mean, the Cowboys can score if there's any sort of hole in that Panthers' armor, which wasn't going to get shown against any of the teams they've played so far. So we don't really know, I feel like. And the Panthers, they'll be able to – they're fine. Like, they have good receiving weapons. Darnold's been good. And with the Cowboys post defense being bad, I think this one – smells like a high score and affair.
You're right. With the weapons, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Zeke, I mean, there's a good chance the Cowboys are able to just go up and down the field on the Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really seen the Panthers play a competent offense.
Right. Yet. We'll go to Minnesota. Browns traveling there. You're last in the AFC North, Browns. I'm taking a -2. The Vikings, I think the Browns defense comes down to their pass rush. If they come up against a team like the Bears, who cannot protect Justin Fields at all, that are going to dominate them. If they come up against a team that has a competent O-line, I think a quarterback with some time to throw will find open receivers. But the Vikings don't have that offensive line. So I think Myles Garrett lives in the backfield again. And the Browns, they're only 2-point dogs on the road. I think they won this one fairly handily.
So I'm taking Vikings money line here, +110. Dogs at home. All signs are kind of pointing to Dalvin Cook being back this week. I just think that offense might be too much for a Browns defense that, again, isn't great.
I love the Vikings in this game if they even had a top 20 offensive line.
That's fair.
But those weapons don't matter if they're going to be getting the Kirk Cousins.
That's fair.
Yep, so -2 for the Browns there. Then we go Lions at Bears. Divisional game here. Matt Nagy yet to say whether it's Fields, it's Dalton, or it's Foles. And what's the old saying? If you have 2 QBs, you don't have one. What if you have 3 QBs? You have less than one. You have less than 0. And for that simple fact, you can't play these games. I do think it's kind of a game. Part of me says Matt Nagy thinks he's smarter than he is. And he's like, it's obviously Fields. I'm throwing smoke and mirrors up so they don't know what to prepare for. You just can't show that lack of trust in your rookie QB when nothing of it was his fault last week. So I'm taking the Lions money line here. I think, like we said, the Lions are going to win 4 games somewhere, and this is a perfect spot for them to quit.
Yeah, I agree. I just can bring myself to bet the Lions.
Mm-hmm. I like it either way, but going into this game, I kind of had a thought that I was going to take the Lions money line, and I was hoping for a little bit better than +125.
I really didn't like any of the lines. Bears defense is pretty good, so I didn't like that over under very much, especially with how bad the Bears offense was with Fields last week. But I kind of found a receiving stat that I like. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams to combine for over 63.5 receiving yards. That offense is just kind of a check down offense right now.
Right.
So I like that there. The receptions seemed high. I think to get that -110, it would have been like 11 receptions, which is so much.
Right. But at least with the yards, it can go exactly opposite from what you think. They might only put 5 passes to backs, but like maybe they just break one.
Right, maybe they break the screen or something for 40 yards, and it's like, okay, and now I'm sitting in a good spot.
So then we'll go Texans at Bills. What are we doing here? I had to clean the glasses off when I saw this line. Let's see what I think. I'm seeing 17-point favorites. I know it's at home, and I know what they did to the Jets and to the football team last week. But, are we going to see a line this big for the rest of the year?
I haven't looked at games, but I doubt it.
Well, here's the only thing. As I said, that the Jets do have to go to Buffalo. So that's if they're true. Saying the Texans are starting.
But they might not even put that line just with it being a divisional game.
17th lot.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That Jets line might only be like 13.5 or something.
So are you bold enough? Are you?
I am not. I had the Texans covering when they were 14-point dogs to the Browns, and that hit. But that was with Tyrod. Granted, he got hurt halfway through that game.
Right.
I think the Texans are good for like 10, 14 points here. So I like the over 47 because I think the Bills might be good for 47 on their own.
I'm on the over as well. It's just when a team is scoring as many points as it's clear that Vegas thinks the Bills will be doing, you're just giving the ball back a lot. Like, you're having quick possessions, and the Texans are just going to find their way into the end zone a time or two.
Right. Vegas might have this line at 47 because they think the Texans are only good for like 3, maybe 7 points. But I think that's your worry.
The Bills will contribute their part for sure, but
right.
This isn't going to be a 23-3 win for Bills. So let me go. This one confused me a little bit. Colts, Dolphins. Dolphins, I get they're at home. -2.5. I don't really think they'd be favorites in this game.
I don't think so either.
They show signs of life taking that Raiders game to overtime, but that I indict the Raiders more for that than I give the Dolphins credit. And we talk about like the 3-0 teams not being tested yet. I'm not a Colts believer. What was their first three? Rams, Seahawks, Titans?
Yeah.
That's about as bad as it gets.
Right.
So I don't like it, but they play these teams. They play the Rams close within three. I'm taking the Colts +2.5 here on the road.
I had the same thought process. I mean, the Colts, that was probably their hardest three-game stretch they'll have all season.
Right.
I'm taking the money line. And I'm a fan of Jacoby Brissett. I think that Colts team had such a tough three games that I don't know if they can completely be judged on their record through those three games. +115 money line. I was expecting this game would be in like the -115 money line range for them, -120.
Yeah, it's just
I know they were going into Miami, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm the Colts for that one. Now we go Chiefs at Eagles. They're on the road. I don't want to hear the stat. You know, Chiefs haven't covered in 13 games or something. Maybe not that many. But it's been a while since the Chiefs have covered. And I think the lines maker is also tired of hearing that stat. Because they're 1-2. The Chiefs are covering this game.
Right.
It's 7 points. The Eagles are bad. I'm doubling back because I haven't quite decided yet. This is in the running for my lock of the week. There's a couple other that I'm like considering, but that's definitely it's a thought process for me.
So I agree with you. I think this offense will put up more than 30 points. I think Mahomes is done with it. It's that defense I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. I think Mahomes will do everything in his power to cover this 7-point spread.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if that defense will. And that's why I'm not taking any lines. I'm not taking the over-under. I've gotten bit by the Chiefs 3 times now already this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Hurts over 52.5 rush yards. It's high, but he's also just been running this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got like 160 rush yards already. And that Chiefs defense isn't anything special.
So let me go Titans at Jets. And we talk about locks for a week. Titans -6 might be even better than Chiefs -7. Yeah, again, they're on the road, but it's the Jets.
I think this line is very manipulated by the fact that Julio and A.J. Brown are both out.
Right.
But Derrick Henry is just going to rush for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's okay. I have Titans -6, but you want to make a little money? You want to really pad that big line? Come here. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out. Derrick Henry, over 1.5 touchdowns. +250. And you really want to pad that wallet?
over 2.5 touchdowns. This is rushing and receiving. He has been catching the ball more than anticipated this year. Plus 1,400 for Derrick Henry to score 3 touchdowns or more, something he's already done this season.
I think, what's the line on over 3.5?
Couldn't find it.
No, I think there's a very good chance Derrick Henry has 4 touchdowns this game.
So on my card, Titans -6, Derrick Henry over 1.5 touchdowns for plus 250. But I'm definitely sprinkling that plus 1,400.
How much does that change if you parlay like that plus 1,400 with like the Titans to cover?
It'd be pretty good. I'd have to imagine.
Like, there might be some money to be made in this Titans game.
What are you?
I have the Titans covering. This was really the only no-brainer pick, which is why I didn't choose it as my lock of the week. Because obviously, every time I give a lock of the week, I think it's a no-brainer. So I have them covering, not my lock, though.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make them out. Titans -6. Okay. Yeah. So I want to find it here. That Derrick Henry line, because, I mean, we want to get wild. Like, I still got a little bit of a unit hole to jump out of. Like, Derrick Henry, at least 3 touchdowns. That, and I had you saying to...
The Titans to cover.
Plus 2840.
Yeah, I might have to throw some cash on that.
It's not bad. I'm trying to see what is it if it's just a 2.5 or over the 1.5 touchdowns. Doesn't seem it wants you to do that one.
It's too likely.
Yeah, no, Justin, you got to go big if you want this one.
I still might, though. I don't hate it.
It's worth a couple of bucks here. You're not going to miss that.
I mean, I won't take the credit away from you. I won't say that it's one of my bets for the pod, but just, you know, on my own dime, I might.
Plus 250. I just really love that line.
Like, yeah, I don't see how that doesn't.
With them out, like, what else would they possibly do in that red zone?
I don't know.
And maybe if it's against a team that could stop it, but it's
the what's his carries
over under head? Probably a lot.
29.5.
Does this go like opposite where it's like, hey, if the Titans are up like 21 at halftime, they're gonna start throwing the ball in order to like save Derrick Henry?
That, I don't know.
Yeah, that we're pretty excited for that one. I have to imagine that might be our noon game we watch, despite there clearly be better games out there.
Are there, though? I mean, Titans, Jets. I do have a Zach Wilson bet as a part of my parlay later, so I will be invested in that game.
I was last year. It's not a fun place to be, but when you went to your lock, you're happy with it. So we go to the Washington football team at the Falcons. Again, better team on the road, but only 1.5-point favorites here for the football team. I didn't really like it. I wanted to just circle that football team line, but I have to see it, and they haven't shown this elite defense that they boast yet. And until they do, but again, on the other side, the offense has been better than expected, I think, with Heinicke at the helm. So give me the over 47.5 in this one.
You know what? I just like talked myself in that to double dipping on this game.
Okay.
You know, I love Taylor Heinicke.
Yep.
But Washington has both teams have bottom half defenses in the league.
So far, yeah.
So far. I know that Washington defense is supposed to be great.
Right. Just weird we haven't seen it.
Right. I mean, yes, they played the Bills. but like they also played the Giants. You know,
if you're a great, great defense, there's no excuse for what teams you played. You have to keep teams to 21 and less, no matter who they are.
So we'll start with my lock of the week that comes in this game. And that's also the over 47.5.
Okay.
Yeah, both teams bottom half. Washington is bottom five right now in the league in terms of yards.
Yeah.
It's just not a good defense. And then my double dip I just talked myself into is Falcons money line. There's just something about it that I don't even know why, but I just talked myself into Falcons money line at plus 105.
It's a feeling.
No rhyme or reason. My gut's just telling me.
This next game, Giants at Saints, is another reason where why I'm still debating that lock for the week. Because I love Saints -7 in this one. They're finally back in Superdome. There's going to be fans there. The Giants are bad, bad. I think the Saints just see what the Saints can do when they haven't been home for a month. Like, now they finally have, you know, your own bed to sleep in, practice in your own facilities, you're back home in front of your fans. This one just feels like a blowout.
Yeah, I also took the Saints -7. This has, like, have you seen clips of, like, their first game after – like Katrina,
right? It's
just, but like just the atmosphere,
right?
Like just putting,
yeah,
putting the city on their back, like bringing the city together, like, hey, we're all in this
right.
together.
It's not quite that, but
it's not as bad as Hurricane Katrina.
Right,
I'm not saying it is, but like
the Saints fans love the Saints, like
right.
it's really they have the Pelicans, but they don't really care about that. They love the Saints, they'll show up. This building's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I just think the atmosphere will be absolutely nuts,
mm-hmm.
and the Saints will feed off that.
And the Saints are good, and the Giants aren't.
Right.
Cardinals at Rams. It's an interesting, very interesting game for the division. Both teams 3-0. The Cardinals were losing to the Jaguars at halftime, which is a mistake that I like the Cardinals. That's not a vulnerability that the Rams are yet to show. It's in LA. I like the Rams -4.5 in this one. This could be a huge win for the Cardinals if they can go in. This would be the equivalent of the Chargers going into Arrowhead and kind of stealing that division. Like the favorite, I can't say the lead for the division because of the Raiders and Broncos, but in this case, it would be Cardinals 4-0, having a win over the Rams would be a great place to put them in, but my gut just says the Rams after seeing what they did to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, so although I agree with you, after week two, I said I am riding with the Cardinals till further notice. Mm-hmm. They have not steered me wrong in terms of winning games. So I am taking the Cardinals money line at +175. I said I'm riding with them till further notice.
Yeah.
If this is the week they kind of, you know, take a step back, well,
yeah,
maybe I don't have to ride with them.
It doesn't even have to be a step back to lose to the
right
Rams.
Right.
We go Seahawks at 49ers, and I hate this game. I almost did about it. There's nothing I like about it. 2.5 seems exactly right. 52, I can't put my finger on which side of that I like. So I was just skipped over it, but I went digging for this line. Trey Lance to score a touchdown +420. And that, it's, would feel bad if they bring him in and he throws a touchdown in the red zone, but it seemed almost on every play that they put him down there, it's an option. It's run first.
Right.
Every time. And it's clearly the red, a prominent part of the red zone package. I don't see why his odds are so considerably lower than like Trey Sermon.
Right. Because
he clearly is put in there in those situations. Obviously less opportunities, but when it comes down to those opportunities within the five, I think he's their first option.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I didn't like either side. I actually went on Google and typed in coin flip and designated Seahawks as heads, Niners as tails, and Seahawks won. So I've got the Seahawks covering 2.5.
It should be a good game. They just nailed the lines.
Right. Yeah, that Niners defense just confuses me.
Yeah.
Like they'll go out and give up, what, 33 points or something to the Lions? Come back.
I try to
give up 11 to Philly, who just dropped 30 the week before.
I try to put the Lions out of my head because I want to say it's
an anomaly. Like,
right. It's just so many points right at the end, but like it happened.
Right.
Like that's 33% of the games we've seen that for in our defense so far. Like until we get to week 6 or 7, it's going to be a prominent part of what I have to base my bets off of. I just don't like the game.
And then it's the same thing with the Seahawks defense. Week 1, it's like, wow, like the right. Seahawks defense might be good. Don't want to overreact, but and then they'll go and just not be great. Mm-hmm. Week 2 and 3. Like so that over under even, it's hard to put a number on what I like there. So
Ravens at Broncos, and this Ravens team is confusing. Being the Chiefs. Cheating to beat the Lions. And if the Ravens can't score 20 points against the Lions, they sure can't do it against the Broncos. Give me under 45.5 in this one. The first test for the Broncos. They're at home, 3-0. Teams they beat combined 0-9. Like, they have not been tested whatsoever. Maybe the Ravens just go in there and show that the Broncos aren't all that good, but I think that defense is legit, despite not really being tested. It's just been very impressive.
Right. At the end of the season, that'll be a top 10, mm-hmm. top 8 defense in the league.
And the Lions won't be. It's right. Like, what's going on there? It's...
I think the Broncos are going to survive their test. I think they moved to 4-0. I've got the Broncos money line here. Probably the bet I'm the second least confident in. We're getting to my least confident bet coming up here, but
I mean, Steelers at Packers, I'm not betting it. I just there's no way I could give an unbiased line on this game.
I tried my best. I went. It's very just if you watched. The games for both teams. You watch all three games, which we have a Steelers fan and a Packer fan in this household. So
we have.
I think the Niners showed the best way to put up points on the Packers is check down short passes. Jimmy G averaged like 6 yards per attempt or 7 yards, which is exactly what the Steelers have been doing. Mm-hmm. Big Ben has been maybe throwing the ball 5 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Not usually. It balls me out so much. I've laid out that like losses aren't going to crush me this year. I want them to get a young quarterback, but just seeing them out there just makes me very sad.
And then my logic for the Packers is I think we've had the one game where they'll put up 3 points. Mm-hmm. We got that out of the way.
Right.
And I think this Packers team, that O-line is probably going to struggle. I mean, I don't be surprised if you see Rodgers 4, 5, 6 sacks this game, but I do think that offense will still put up some points.
Right. Just because I don't have any thoughts, but I do know these teams very well. To give some analysis on it, what makes Rodgers and Devontae so absolutely lethal? It's the same thing that happened with Jordan Nelson and any dynamo driver. Whoever was the Packers one at the time is they put in the work, and that timing is unbeatable. Just the page they're on, Devontae Adams is going to run down the field, and if you're playing him inside, He's going to throw that perfect back shoulder, and Devontae's going to know right when to turn around and throw it, because they've done it a million times together. And if you're playing them underneath, cut that off. He's just going to throw the perfect in the bread basket pass over the top. And the only way that you can make sure that that doesn't happen is you can double them, which is simply they have enough. I believe Valdez-Scantling might be out, but they do have Rodgers can find, he'll feed it to receivers, even if they're not that talented. He's done it his whole career. You can't do it. You can double Devontae, which will work 90 to 95% of the time. But it's just not sustainable to double somebody on this big play.
Right.
What you have to do is throw off that timing by disrupting Rodgers in the pocket. And if I were to put myself on that optimistic side, that's what the Steelers can do. They can throw a lot of blitzes at Rodgers to just offset that time.
Well, that's their key to winning. That's right. How they win the game.
It's the only way they can do it, and then it's...
But, yeah. So, after everything I said, I like the over 45 and a half here. I think the Steelers over hits for the first time this season. I don't know. Just kind of feels right. Mm-hmm. I mean, just with how well the Niners did against the Packers with Jimmy G only averaging like 6-7 yards an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And then just with the Packers being the Packers, I think there's going to be more than 45 and a half scored in this game.
Right. Let's move to our Sunday night. Bucks at Patriots. Patriots 7-point dogs at home. Twins must have seen. 2 decades? More?
Probably more, because...
I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I knew I wanted to get creative with this game. I think the Bucs pull the Patriots out. I think we both do. So just to go with Bucs -7 wasn't good enough for me. I flirted with, like, Bucs -13. I believe that was +250. I had written down Bucs twin both halves. I believe that was like +145-ish, but it doesn't work with they just get up big in the first half and just hold the ship, hold the line in the second half. But I do think it's a dominating Bucks win. So I'm going Bucks to lead in each quarter by 138. I believe if this is alive at the end of the first quarter, then I'll probably just win it. If the Bucks take like a 7-0, a 10-0, a 10-3, a 10-7 lead in the first quarter, I think that just holds for the whole game.
So if you want to know how I actually feel about the game, Bucks win this game 35-10.
Mm-hmm.
But something's telling me that, you know, so let's roll back to last season. You know, Brady gets out of New England. There's the debate. Was it Brady or was it Belichick?
Mm-hmm.
His first season with the Bucks, Brady goes out and wins the Super Bowl. Conversation done. You know,
mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, well, it was Brady. Part of me wants to think Belichick brings that conversation back with this game. I am running Patriots money line +265. You know, what did we talk about? Was it week one where you talked about the field storyline with your bet? There was some bet you made. Like
I think it was week two.
Week two. You know, but it's like, this feels like this could be one of those storyline games where it's going to bring back the debate. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? But I actually think the Bucs will win like 35-10.
Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. He's won 6 Super Bowls. But which teams does he win Super Bowls with? The really good ones.
Right.
The ones with elite defenses and really good pass catchers. People say Brady doesn't have pass catchers when he is thrown to the best tight end and wide receiver of all time. I mean, I just don't understand that. But the Patriots team isn't good. Like, Brady is going in there with Gronk, with Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, with Antonio Brown. The Patriots have no weapons. They have Mac Jones, who's not looked good. And
he's looked the best out of the rookie quarterbacks.
Trey Lance.
That's
fair. Just the one with the least opportunities to mess it up. And this Bucks defense can obviously be taken advantage of in the pass game. Not by Mac Jones, it can't, I don't think. Not with how he's been playing so far. And we talk about check downs, like he's just, he's a game manager in the worst sense of the word so far. It's the most versatile term in football. It can be used as the worst of insults and the highest of compliments for quarterbacks. And he's just been asked to do very little, and he's struggled to do that sometimes. So I just think, especially this Bucks front four will be able to give him enough pressure that the Bucks just blow him out. Honestly,
I just want to be clear. I'm 100% agree. I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. Part of me just wants to bet it because there's like a 5% chance that this for the storyline.
Right. It's Belichick. I'm nothing against Belichick. Like, great coaches take great teams to Super Bowls. I don't care how good of a coach you are. You don't take okay teams to, like, you still need a level of talent that I just don't think the Patriots have.
Yeah, I agree. The weapons that the Bucks have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and their whole approach is something I'm surprised teams don't go for more often when you're aging. Mm-hmm. They're just signing a bunch of guys that are at the tail end of their prime or maybe even out of their prime, but they're just getting them for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Richard Sherman, $2 million.
Worst case scenario, he's like your slot corner. He's like misses stuff.
Right. It's like,
you've seen it with good corners at the end of the year. Worst case scenario, like, they can play safety. Like, it's not that different.
Right.
Like Charles Woodson had a full career rebirth when he moved to safety. Not saying that's what they're going to do with Richard Sherman, but like, when that's your reinforcements you can bring in when you're struggling at a position, it's pretty good.
Right.
So then Monday night, we got a pretty fun game, I think. Raiders at Chargers, and I'm taking the Chargers -3. I know you like the Raiders, but the Chargers are my darling team. I know you have with the Cardinals. I just like the Chargers a lot. Obviously, I bet on money line against the Chiefs last week. I think they handled the Raiders here. I have bets for the Chargers to win this division. And to win this division, you got to beat the 3-0 Raiders here.
So I'm in the same boat, which is why I took the exact opposite bet. I have bets on the Raiders to win the division and the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you got to beat the team that just beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Taking the Raiders to go into SoFi and win this game money line.
I could see it's definitely a trend bet on it. It's letdown spot for the Chargers for sure, but
it depends what Raiders we see.
True. This Chargers coaching staff has impressed me so far, and I believe they'll have this team ready to get up for this divisional game.
Yeah, I am completely dependent on what Raiders you see. You see the Raiders defense from week one and week two, I think maybe Herbert gets in a little trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You see the Raiders defense that just played the Dolphins.
The Raiders defense is very similar to the Browns to me. If you can handle their pass rush, they can be picked apart. If you can't, that's going to cover up for their pass defense.
Right. But, yeah, I feel like we've got quite conflicting bets.
This is easily the week where you have the most opposite thoughts on games, which you also said that you don't like this card and you're struggling to pick a lock of the week.
But I think that's good, though.
Right.
I've loved every card I've had. And
right, and I love this card. I'm scared about that. Our bets are going to win. Hopefully your bets are going to win. I'm just going to not go 500 this week like I've gone pretty much every week.
I do have one parlay to throw at
you. So do I. What am I talking
about? Yeah, we're not done yet. I'll start with mine while you pull yours up here. I'm calling this one the yards, yards, yards parlay.
Yeah. Ascend to the points, points, points parlay.
Sam Darnold, over 268.5 pass yards. Got Teddy Two Gloves, over 240.5 pass yards. And Zach Wilson, your boy. Pulled through for you last week. Got him throwing over 223.5 pass yards. And that parlay, that three-legger for plus 564.
You go big on your parlays. That's for sure. I'm going a little different route. This one's called the Don't Be Pathetic Parlay.
Okay.
A little tease. Lions at Bears, over 35 and a half. Colts at Dolphins, over 36. Giants at Saints, over 36. That's the three lowest totals of the day. Tease down 6 points. Parlay together at plus 150, exactly. Just don't be pathetic and combine to score over 40 points once.
Mark my words, Sam Darnold might throw for 400 yards this week. Just going to throw that out there against the Cowboys. Oh, I am invested in multiple noon games. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That's not good. How are we going to decide between Titans, Jets, and Panthers, Cowboys?
The games I never thought we'd be watching. The Browns, Vikings is a good game, too.
No, none of it matters to us.
So. I'd like to watch the Bills. I haven't watched a full Bills game yet. Colts, Dolphins, sure not watching that. Chiefs, Eagles, that'd be fun, too.
I think
the Chiefs put up points.
I think Lions, Bears is probably the best noon game.
That one you consider, I don't
think. There's a rumor Nagy's just gonna run with like David Montgomery.
The only chance I see a second of this game is if it goes overtime.
I think I can maybe convince you to turn it on if he just from right field starts Nick Foles.
You're absolutely right. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, there's just no way he does.
No way. I think he would be fired. He's already, like, quote-unquote in the hot seat.
Well, he should have been fired several times. He clearly has some dirt on the Bears organization. But, enjoy this Sunday. Hopefully your bets win. And we will see you on Wednesday for our recap.